hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay here, Patriot Street Fighter. Got a great guest today. Most of you know him. His work led to the whole COVID, Venom, Wash the Water, avalanche that hit the world about 6-8 months ago. His research is basically undebatable. It's been the research that has put on deck the truth of what's going on in this whole COVID vaccine nightmare. Amazing stuff's happening. Hey, Doc, I want to throw something at you. It's Dr. Artis. If you don't know, you've been under a rock. I doubt you probably know his name, but if you haven't been under a rock, you know his name. So here's something interesting, Doc. I want to get into the meat of what you want to show us today, but I want to throw something at you that came to me this morning. There's a video that's out, COVID-19 countermeasures, evidence for an intent to harm. Full video, last 30 seconds of this video. By the way, I'll stick it in the description, folks, so you can watch this video if you hadn't got it off my Telegram channel. But in the last 30 seconds, Pfizer's response to a judge was this: we didn't deliver the fraud. We delivered the fraud that government ordered. I found that quite interesting because now they're obviously admitting to it, number one, and they're trying to blame somebody else. Here's another article just came out, Letters from the Underworld. And the title of it is, it's Letters from the Underworld. It's talking about Pfizer's vaccine chemistry manufacturing controls and who actually has control of the decision-making at these places. And if you go down through here, and I'm just going to pull out a couple of points here based on a ton of emails that started back in 2020. Here's what it says. EMA reviewers were under massive political pressure to invent new ways of approving the unapprovable dangerous products. The pressure was emanating from the very top of the US, UK, and EU governments. EU Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen made promises to the member states she was never intending to fulfill in order to tie them all to a single pact for vaccine contracts and thus preempt any independent decisions of their own. And three, there were severe and unresolvable, given purposefully unrealistic timelines, issues with quality of the product. The EMA staff were pressured to okay. Some were uncomfortable in doing so and voiced their concerns. Others overlooked the clearly made up data. And it goes on to lay out how the pharmaceutical regulators do not oversee military materials known as countermeasures and manufacturing demonstrations, which is coy language that covers up bio warfare agents made by the captured U.S. government and its global partners. These emails show the majority of the EMA staff were unwitting actors in this play. And then there's confirmations that came out. Obviously, we knew what was going on. The world doesn't or hasn't yet. Now, today, all over the place, this information is bleeding out everywhere to the world. You and I just were talking offline about how Bill Gates and Fauci came out and publicly in front of the world admitted the vaccines don't work. What the hell's going on? Where we go from here?
Yeah, it's all disgusting, right? You've got Anthony Fauci declaring yesterday they're ineffective. Bill Gates talking last week it was a huge flop and it didn't work. This is obviously the same narrative we've been screaming the whole time, that they're not working. What was interesting was, Scott, when I saw those actual publications yesterday, my response was, I looked at my wife and I said, you know what's weird about that? That they can say it's ineffective when in fact 35,000 people have reportedly died in VAERS. not only they're willing to say they're ineffective, but they haven't admitted that they hurt anybody. It's one thing to say they're ineffective. It's a way bigger deal to say we killed a whole bunch of people with these shots. We paralyzed a whole bunch of people with these shots. We destroyed the hearts and minds of a whole bunch of people with these shots. They're not admitting that yet. They haven't said that yet. Ineffective and harmful are two totally different narratives. And until they admit to that stuff, we should hold them accountable and seek holding them accountable for their massive tragedies with these shots. It wasn't just ineffective. It was extremely harmful and dangerous. I mean, seriously, Scott, we'll talk about it here. They were ineffective at helping to prevent COVID-19 or hospitalization outcomes, all of it. Really, they were very effective at one thing.
Killing people
and causing miscarriages in what percentages worldwide of pregnant women?
4,000% increase, I believe.
80%+ worldwide is the report of lost pregnancies receiving the COVID-19 vaccine during pregnancy worldwide.
80%. Holy crap, dude.
And that has been published over and over and over, over by Dr. Jim Thorpe, MD out of Florida, who's an OBGYN of high-risk pregnancies. He's constantly done an incredible, diligent work of making sure all the demographics and data from around the world are all showing the same thing. He's done a great job of testifying in D.C., in front of legislators. He's joined me at many events. But Dr. Jim Thorpe, Christiana Northrup, OBGYN, has also been covering this a lot. They've done a great job of doing that. Judy Mikovits actually could explain it way before everybody else did. She actually said, when I dropped the Watch the Water documentary, and then you did the interview to help actually get the documentation to your audiences. Thank God for that. First person to respond to the venom aspects of COVID and what I was suggesting with the shots having venom in it, yep, is Judy Mikovits. She was the first one to reach out to me and say, from every stage and in every interview from here on out, I'm going to talk about how you're right. And in this presentation today, I'm going to show you, your audiences, what some of the things Judy Mikovits knew and where she learned it is right in line with what they are doing in our government right now and have been for the last 30 years to develop vaccines from venoms on a large scale at Fort Detrick, Maryland, where Judy Mikovits used to work. So anyway, we'll show some of that here. But the miscarriages, I mean, to admit they weren't effective against COVID is really understating the significant failure of these shots. It hasn't been that they were ineffective. What we've been screaming is it's hurting people and ending lives and pregnancies around the world and permanently injuring people. So they need to admit to that stuff, and then they need to find ways. I know Bill Gates is running off now with his billions he's made off of this universal global vaccine agenda called COVID-19 vaccine agenda. He needs to give some of that money back to pay for all the lifelong care that's occurred to the people who've been injured with these shots for life.
Or
that's what you should be paying for.
Or the debt or the deaths to the family members, money to support family members whose loved ones are dead. And we're only talking about the kill shot. We're not talking about remdesivir. We're not talking about people that have starved to death. In fact, there's something that just came out here. I'm going to show you really quickly. I said this yesterday when this came out. There is now at this point a massive counterpunch coming. People are pissed beyond pissed. I'm going to show this really quickly. Let's watch this girl. Not now. Give me one sec. I'm going to see if I can pause it. Let me share this really quickly. We're getting to that point now.
Anybody heard about how my father was murdered with remdesivir? Has anybody heard about how the hospital called me to blame me and my mom because we weren't vaccinated? That's the reason he died? Anybody heard about that? And they never. Anybody hear about that? Anybody hear about how they put my dad in bilateral restraints, restrained him against his will, and pumped him full of remdesivir against his and his family wishes while they called me and blamed me and told me he was dying because I wouldn't take the vaccine? Has anyone heard the story? wasn't able to use a goddamn phone! Are you listening to me? Everybody, you know, people want me to act all nice about this shit, man. Fuck you! Fuck you! This shit is bullshit! They murdered my father! They injected him with poison! They lied to me! They blamed me! You want me to act normal? Sit here and make videos like everything's okay? So we can watch Rebel News go up to Albert Bourla and do nothing! Nothing! Is that what you want? Fuck you!
There you go. I said yesterday when I saw that, now we're getting somewhere. Now people are, they're ready for war because now they're realizing where we are. And she made a point that they starved her father to death, which they did. That's exactly what they did to my father outside of a parting shot when we fired the doctor. They took off the doctor who was the one that we wanted for no reason whatsoever, who was like we are, put him with this other, I'm not going to get emotional about it because I'll just start ripping every name you can think of on this son of a bitch. But knew he was an evil bastard. Get him off the case. By the time they got him off the case, he had one parting shot on the way out the door, brought in somebody who was much nicer. But I was on my way home on a rescue mission or to get him inside of Scalar Systems and, you know, bring back some stroke issues. And I was told the morning I was getting ready to get on a plane, get here. He's now terminal. Like, okay. So it was a murder machine. It is a murder machine. The hospitals in the country became the 21st century killing fields. Nobody can debate that. And they can say what they want, but the results are everywhere. And look at this girl. And that's the good thing is that's where people are now. They're finally realizing it. And they're ready for war. And I can't imagine how pissed off they're going to be done when you're done today. So what are we going to talk about, bro?
Yeah, so I just want to speak to that actual video was sent to me by Dr. Deb Viglione. She's an internist in Florida, a medical doctor. She sent that to me, and who posted it is a guy named John O'Looney. Now, John O'Looney has also been deposed to be a part of the Nuremberg 2.0 attempted trial by the International Lawyer Group led by Dr. Rainier Fulmick. John O'Looney is a coroner in England, and John O'Looney was the first one to blow the whistle that in April and May of 2020, that in England, their government sent out people, military people, to go into nursing homes, and they injected innocent elderly people, 40,000 of them. They injected them with a combination of a cocktail of midazolam and morphine. Now, to set the precedence for this, midazolam is one of the drugs they use in the lethal injection on death row. So midazolam and morphine, morphine's what they used to kill my father-in-law in a hospital and probably used on your dad too. But those combinations of drugs are what they used to just inject into the elderly, kill them all. And then the head coroner for the entire country told all the coroners, when you go into these nursing homes, you're going to write on the death certificate the cause of death was COVID-19. But none of them were sick. None of them had infections. None of them had any symptoms. They were all murdered, euthanized with a cocktail of midazolam and morphine. When John O'Looney was being threatened with his license as a funeral director and a coroner to actually lose his license and his ability to feed his family, if he didn't write down they died from COVID-19 on their death certificates, he was the guy that blew the whistle on that. In fact, on one of the depositions we did with Dr. Rainier Fulmick, I was asked to do a grand jury appearance and I showed all the remdesivir protocols. And then I touched on the midazolam morphine cocktail in the UK. And I didn't know John O'Looney was actually on this deposition, but Dr. Rainier Fulmick asked him to actually start speaking on what I was reporting as a result of the flooding of the lungs of patients that are going to be put on remdesivir. The drug was published to cause acute kidney failure. And I said, and everyone, when they go into the hospitals, they don't have any fluid in their lungs. It's not until you put them on remdesivir, then you flood their lungs with water. They're calling COVID pneumonia, but it's actually pulmonary edema. You are flooding their lungs with water. As I said that, to wrap up my testimony, John O'Looney's asked to come on and actually substantiate my claims. Because as a coroner, he has to go into hospitals all over England and pronounce the cause of death. And then he takes the bodies to the morgue to process for funerals. And this is what he said. He goes, Dr. Artis just isn't just right. When I take my instrument to plunge it into the abdomen and the lung cavity to drain fluids, there is so much water in the abdomens and in the lungs of the people that were treated with remdesivir that when I put the tool inside of them for the first time in his entire career, every time he would put the tool to start draining fluid from the lungs and the abdomen, he told Dr. Renier Frumlich and the whole group worldwide, he said, the fluid, the water in the lungs of these patients is so much that when I puncture it, it shoots out of the body. And it never does that. It usually just drains out like a hose would drain out water. He goes, no, it erupts out of the body through that tool, sprays up in the air like a volcano. That's how much water buildup is in the abdomen and in the lungs of these COVID patients that are being treated in hospitals with remdesivir. So this is exactly what they were doing. This is a killing field in the ICUs of hospitals, just like this lady just projected. It's disgusting. I was just asked yesterday to come to a press conference in Sealy, Texas. Not this weekend, but the next weekend, at a press conference for several other families whose loved ones died being administered remdesivir against their consent when they had in writing and speaking, they were not going to consent to use remdesivir. It was still given to these loved ones and their loved ones died. And now there's new lawsuits coming to them here in Texas. So that'll be happening next week too. And yes, you're right. People need to be furious. This is what's been motivating me this whole damn time for the last 3 years, Scott. Regardless of what the medical doctors want to say in this anti-COVID movement, whatever Newsweek wants to publish, Associated Press wants to publish about me, it doesn't matter. They killed my father-in-law in a hospital, and I will relentlessly expose all of your damn frauds, all of your damn lies when it comes to the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccines, the hospital protocols. It doesn't matter. I'm going to keep telling you because you murdered my damn father-in-law in front of my wife and myself and my entire wife's family. And you lied to all of our faces and then had me kicked out of the hospital by security, refusing to talk to me after we worked with your team to fix the protocol you had him on. And within 4 hours, he becomes conscious off of a vent for the first time in 5 days. Really? And then you're going to kick me out of the hospital, refuse to talk to me, have security escort me out. And then you're going to lie to my wife's family about why it is you're going to put him back on the original protocol that was killing him. After we already showed you he would recover? No, screw all of you. It is time to actually expose all your damn lies, all your damn frauds, and I've relentlessly done it nonstop.
You know, Doc, these people watch you. Pack, they're probably watching you today, right? On Patreon. Sure. You know, all I can say to you folks, you can see this isn't going to stop, and I can pretty much boil it down into three words for you. You're fucked. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, and let's talk about the fucking right now. You ready? Here we go. When we're looking at, let's prove what in the hell they're doing here. Did you ever see the TEDx talk, Scott, 10 to 12, 13 years ago by Bill Gates, his TEDx talk, where he talks about climate change and that climate change can be fixed if we just reduce the population of the earth by 10 to 15%? And then he turns and looks at the crowd and says,
what would do it?
We know we can do it, and we can do it with vaccines.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I just told you that Jim Thorpe, Dr. Jim Thorpe, MD, high-risk OBGYN, currently in clinical practice, well-researched and authored of research publications for decades. That guy keeps reporting it is across the board, 80-plus percent of all pregnancies worldwide who received COVID-19 injections lost their pregnancies. Trimester 1, 2, and 3, it did not matter. All right, well, would that be an attempt to depopulate the planet and control fertility? Obviously, they said they could do it with vaccines. Oh my God, could this be how they did it? Well, I'm going to show you how it is I believe they're doing it. If I can actually show a little bit of this presentation, Scott just said y'all are effed. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to get enough OBGYNs to look at this information. I've already reviewed it with OBGYNs, including Jim Thorpe. And he was blown away with what I showed him. He said he had 30 minutes. The meeting went 3 hours. And I just kept showing him everything in relationship to what I'm about to review and do in summary with your audiences here. Because people have wondered, why am I having a hard time getting pregnant? Why can I not maintain my pregnancies? Why am I having miscarriages? Why did I lose my baby? Okay, well, there's millions of you around the world. Would you like to know what Dr. Artis sees that's in print? that could explain all of it. And now your OBGYNs and yourselves will know what to go test for and look for to see if it's exactly what they're using to cause infertility. So if you don't mind, I'd love to show you, show the audiences what it is. Okay.
That's habits.
So we're going to share a screen here and I'm going to do this presentation here. All right. So this is just a QR code for if anybody wants to keep track of what we're doing. Actually, me and Dr. Henry Ely are putting together entire protocols over the next 3 months and antidotes to help heal as many people as possible around the world. All right. So this QR code just lets you scan that to get access to it. All right. So when we show you these slides, I want you to just follow along at home with the highlighted blue areas. Okay. All right. So this is going to be the key to understanding how miscarriages are being created by the COVID-19 shots per yours truly, me. All right. Syncytium is going to be the key. This word syncytium, I'm going to show this Wikipedia here. Here's a reference. An example of syncytium is animal skeletal muscle. The term may also refer to cells that are interconnected by specialized membranes with gap junctions that are seen in the heart muscle, for example, smooth muscles, and synchronized electrically in action potential for the heart. So when electrical impulses are given to the heart, it will all contract at once, or smooth muscles like your skeletal muscles, they'll all contract at once to create movement, motion, and contraction. Syncytium is required for that. Syncytium is going to be the key to how it is they're creating with COVID-19 shots so many miscarriages. All right, what is syncytium for? In animals, which they consider you to be an animal and a mammal. If you read the blue highlighted area under placenta, another important vertebrate, syncytium, is in the placenta of placental mammals. Embryo-derived cells that form the interface with the maternal bloodstream fuse together to form a multinucleated barrier called the syncytiotrophoblast. Syncytium is the Velcro that forms the placenta to attach to the uterus. And those cells that Velcro together the placenta to the uterus wall, those cells are called syncytiotrophoblasts. So it's like the Velcro, the glue to keep the placenta attached to the uterus. The uterus provides blood flow that gives nutrients, oxygen, food to the baby to grow. You need syncytium to initiate and form syncytiotrophoblast. Syncytiotrophoblast. We're going to make sure everybody can see this. I'm going to move this down for myself so I can show this. The syncytiotrophoblast is the epithelial covering of the highly vascular, lots of blood vessels, embryonic placental villi. The placenta of the embryo, which invades the wall of the uterus to establish nutrient circulation between the embryo and the mother. What I was just describing, Scott, syncytiotrophoblasts allow blood supply to come from the uterus to the baby for nourishment and oxygen and blood flow. Here's a picture. Syncytiotrophoblast is on the right. Amniotic cavity where the baby's going to grow is right in the middle. And you'll see the outside top looking tent looking structure. That's going to be your uterine lining. Syncytiotrophoblast, you'll see the layer attached to the uterus. The amniotic cavity is where the baby's going to grow. All right, here we go. The function of the syncytiotrophoblast. The syncytiotrophoblast lacks proliferative capacity and instead is maintained by the fusion of underlying other cells called cytotrophoblast. And this fusion of allowing the syncytiotrophoblast and the placenta to stick to the uterus, the fusion is assisted by something called syncytin. Now, Judy Mikovits has yapped about this thing called syncytin for like a year now, saying the shots are destroying syncytin. Syncytin's required to maintain pregnancies. This is explaining all of the miscarriages. Oh my God, she is so right. Syncytin 1, it's a cell-to-cell fusion protein whose function is best characterized in placenta development. The placenta, in turn, aids in embryo attachment to the uterus and establishment of a nutrient supply. Here's syncytiotrophoblast. Now, this is very important, Scott. You and I have never been pregnant, but we've known people who've been pregnant, and females know this all too well. Sensitio Trophoblast, as highlighted here, it secretes HCG hormone in order to maintain progesterone hormone secretion and sustain a pregnancy. You need Sensitium, assisted by Sensitin, to create what's called Sensitio Trophoblast. Sensitio Trophoblast are responsible for releasing HCG hormone and progesterone to sustain a pregnancy. You need progesterone the whole pregnancy to maintain a pregnancy. If you get low in progesterone, Scott, guess what happens? You miscarry. Almost every single fertilization clinic now, when people can't get pregnant, they are giving synthetic progesterone the whole pregnancy because that's, in most people's cases, the only thing they're lacking the ability to make is progesterone, which means they're not forming Sensitio Trophoblast to make it. Something's wrong with the creation of Sensitium that creates Sensitio Trophoblast cells. All right. I know it sounds really technical, but anybody at home who's lost a baby, a grandparent who's lost a grandbaby and they're one of their children's pregnancies, and you have OBGYNs you work with, this flipping presentation and all the slides, give the information to your OBGYN. They will know what to test for to figure out if what we're showing you is the cause for your infertility or your miscarriages, period. The Sensitio Trophoblast is in direct contact with the mother's blood that reaches the placental surface. It then facilitates the exchange of nutrients, wastes, gases between the mom and the baby's systems. This is what it looks like at the bottom. You'll see trophoblast, cytotrophoblast, and Sensitio Trophoblast, where they reside in the uterine lining. Why is this important and how does this explain the flipping miscarriages? Here we go, Scott. You ready? This is going to be very exciting, I hope.
Hit it, Doc.
In 2017, top left, you'll see there's a published paper called Antiviral Activity of Animal Venom Peptides and Related Compounds. Now, this is in 2017. Scott, do you remember what year Anthony Fauci stood up at Georgetown University and said, before this president's term ends, he will be faced with a global viral threat.
Yep.
Do you remember what year that was?
2017.
In the same year that Anthony Fauci says there's going to be a viral outbreak around the world, they publish a paper called Antiviral Activity of Animal Venom Peptides and Related Compounds. Now, I'm going to show the highlights here of why they're even looking at animal venoms as antiviral vaccines and antiviral drugs, which is really ridiculous to me. All right, let's read the highlighted parts. The reason why they're looking at animal venoms, they say, is a large number of compounds have been identified at inhibiting various viral infections and disease progression. It is urgent to achieve the discovery of more effective agents because their antiviral drugs and vaccines don't work, is what they're saying. Furthermore, proportionally to the great variety of diseases that are caused by viruses, very few viral vaccines are available and not all are efficient. Okay, Scott, I want to set the stage here for the lies they just told. They just said here, we need to look for more antiviral vaccines because it says here there are very few viral vaccines available. Scott, do you know that every single childhood vaccine that kids get that Christiana Northrup talks about from 0 to 18 years old, they get a total of 72 vaccines? Mm. Do you know all of those are for viruses? But they state here there's very few viral vaccines available. And then they even state in the medical literature, they're not all efficient. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so your vaccines currently suck and you don't have enough of them, although you're pumping kids full of them for their entire life. Okay, why don't we just get rid of them then if they don't work? And why are you saying there's few of them? There's like billions of them, obviously. All right. So thus, they state here, these scientific researchers for the drug industry, they state, thus, new antiviral substances obtained from natural products, Scott, have been prospected or looked for, including those derived from venomous animals. Scott, did you know venomous animals are antiviral and help you get over sickness and illness? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Venoms are complex mixtures of hundreds of molecules, mostly peptides, that present a large array of biological activities and evolve to a putatively target the same machinery of different infections or pathogens and host cell structures, which is you. You are the host and you have cells. So this review, this entire paper in 2017, provides a panorama of peptides described from animal venoms that present antiviral activity, thereby reinforcing them as important tools for the development of new therapeutic drugs. Scott, we need more animal venoms to make antiviral drugs. All right, why is this important? I'm about to show you how they know they can create miscarriages with venoms they propose are antiviral. In the paper, the whole reason why they're studying venoms around the world to be used as an antiviral is because of this. There's very few antiviral drugs commercially available, they say, Scott, and those can induce severe and considerable adverse effects, especially to those patients receiving lifelong treatment for diseases like HIV virus. And then they propose all these facts together have propelled the prospection or looking for new antiviral drugs, particularly from natural products, as natural products now constitute more than 25% of the new drug prototypes approved in the last few decades. Scott, look what they call natural products.
Yeah.
Among sources of natural products, animal venoms have revealed a great potential for drug discovery. And despite the harmful action mechanism of animal venoms, most of them have components holding potential medicinal properties to cure diseases, Scott. Oh, okay. I was always told to run away from venomous creatures. I was never told they could cure me, heal me of diseases. All right, so let's get into this. They're going to first discuss, I promise this isn't too long, but they're going to discuss first and highlight scorpion venoms and which parts of scorpion venom can treat which viruses. Okay. Paradoxically, biotechnological applications pharmaceutical companies are devised by the increased understanding of the action mechanisms of venom components. And therefore, Scott McKay and all of your audiences, many research works, not a few, many research works deal with the generation of new drugs based on the structure and function of molecules found in these venoms. Did you know there's lots of research being done to develop drugs from scorpion venom, Scott McKay?
I do.
Patriot Steep Fighter. Well, now you do. Now let's look at why they're researching in 2017 scorpion venom as an antiviral. Check this out. With the rapid increase in the number of characterized scorpion venom compounds, many, not a few, Scott, many new drug candidates have been identified as potential medicines to deal with what? Read it.
Yep. Emerging medical global threats, i.e. COVID-19.
So they're identifying many scorpion venom compounds that could help address emerging medical global threats. Now, Anthony Fauci made everybody aware at Georgetown this same year, there was an emerging medical global threat coming in the next few years. Really? Now, look at this. This is out of the research paper. I want to just show you what they're researching, Scott. Your whole audience needs to know this. Scorpion peptides, top left is what they talk about. Scorpion, the name of the scorpions are on your left. The third column right in the middle is the virus. They say scorpion venoms can treat. At the very bottom of the table, you'll see what the abbreviations represent. So let's go down the list. Starting with virus, the column. MEV is measles virus. The next one is SARS-CoV-1. Okay. Hey, Scott, did you know that in 2005, this paper is from 2017. Did you know that in 2005, Anthony Fauci and the NIH funded a paper and a research study, and they found that hydroxychloroquine was a cure for SARS-CoV-1? Don't you find it weird that in 2017, pharmaceutical drug companies are looking for scorpion venom vaccines to treat SARS-CoV-1? Is that weird to you?
Yeah.
You already found a cure 12 years earlier. Why are you looking at venom to stop SARS-CoV-1? So ridiculous. All right. Then the next one's H5N1, which is an influenza. Then you got hepatitis B virus. Then HIV. Then you have hepatitis C virus. Now, the next ones are very interesting to me. HSV1, that's herpes simplex virus. That's the virus that causes cold sores and fever blisters, Scott. They're coming out with scorpion venom vaccines for cold sores and fever blisters to treat herpes simplex 1. Then you get to HIV and more hepatitis C. I want the world to know They are looking at venoms as the future of drugs for all viruses, period. Here we go. Now they're going to get the snake venoms, and you're about to learn how it is they're causing miscarriages. Snake venoms. Some studies have reported the antiviral activity of snake venoms and their components against the measles virus, Sende virus, dengue virus, yellow fever virus, and HIV. Thus, snake venoms are sources of promising candidates for new antiviral drugs. I had no idea. All right. Now, this is called TSV-LAO, characterized from this snake called the Trimerceros stenogeri snake venom. LAO is abbreviated, look up at the top of the paragraph, for L-amino acid oxidase. So L-amino acid oxidase is a component of snake venom, right here they're talking about, and I'll continue in the blue sentence. It seems to be the first snake venom L-amino acid oxidase reported to present antiviral activity. And at the bottom, you will see there's a reference to the study they're referencing, and that's from 2003, 20 years ago. Okay. LAO, this component of snake venom, they say is reported to have antiviral activity as far back as 20 years ago. Here we go. Why is this significant? Because this suggested antiviral venom component, check this out, Scott. TSV-LAO inhibited HIV-1 infection and replication in a dose-dependent manner. The more of this snake venom we put into an HIV patient, the better the outcomes. HIV wasn't able to hurt them. And seems to act at nanomolar concentrations, really little bitty bitty amounts, this snake venom component, by inhibiting syncytium formation. They know that this suggested compound found in snake venom, that they propose as an antiviral, they know at really small concentrations, it inhibits syncytium formation. You cannot have syncytium if you can't make it because this crap destroys it. If this component destroys syncytium, guess what happens to the placenta? It starts pulling away from the uterus wall. The baby dies without blood supply and you miscarry. They know they can do this with what they are researching as and proposing as antiviral vaccines. All right, L-amino acid oxidase is the key. LAO. They say LAO, no, they know it. Small amounts will inhibit syncytium formation, which will lead to miscarriages. This, all OBGYNs and women at home who are trying to have babies and keep losing them. You need to order this test kit and have your OBGYN order it, or you go to LabCorp, Quest, and order it yourself, or buy it online and do it. L-amino acid assay kits from Cell Bio Labs. I highlighted it in blue. You can do this with a simple urine sample or blood sample. And if you have elevated levels of this, you can't make syncytium and you can't maintain a pregnancy and you cannot make progesterone. All right. So I'm going to read now a summary of why it is. This report in 2017 is summarizing venoms to treat viruses. This is what the scientific world behind our back, Patriot Fighter, is doing. And we just didn't know it. So I'm going to read through the conclusions of what they published in 2017. Their conclusions are, as a consequence of the scarcity of new families of antiviral drugs, pharmaceutical companies have strengthened their efforts to increase developments of known current drugs, but making new antiviral drugs has resulted in little or even no improvement to their existing drug therapies. Therefore, at the same time, the growing demand for new drugs and natural therapeutic products, venoms, is a matter of extreme necessity to face the emergency of multi-resistant viral pathogens. Now, check this out. 2017, Scott. Preventative and curative measures should always be in the hands of health authorities to ensure control of epidemics, such as the recent Ebola outbreak in Africa, particularly in Brazil. The arbovirus is represented by the dengue, chikungunya, and Zika viruses. What's the next three words?
Worldwide pandemics.
Or worldwide pandemics, such as influenza and HIV. And let's check this out. This is their final statement. Therefore, prospection, looking for, screening, and all other phases of biological activity, validation, clinical development of animal venom peptides represents an essential scientific investment for protecting and perpetuating humankind, Patriot Street Fighter. They are stating life will not be able to continue on this planet for our species unless we start using venoms to protect us against pandemics, worldwide pandemics, epidemics of viruses. This is what they're studying. Now, is it true that they might already be doing this to people who are pregnant and giving them these shots with these snake venom components? Let's find out. I need to introduce your audience to Paul F. Reed. He owns a company called Celtic Biotech. You'll see it above the logo with the snake.
Yep, there you go.
Let's read his bio, his own bio he created. This is 30 years ago, Scott. Let's look at the blue area. I'm going to start right before Dr. Reed's name in the blue. From 1993, 30 years ago, to 1996, Dr. Reed was employed by the United States Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, Maryland. When I showed Judy Mikovits this, she was like, Doc, this is the first place I got my first employment with the government, is at this facility in Fort Detrick. Under a grant, while he worked there 30 years ago, he got a grant from the National Research Council in Washington, D.C. Under that grant, he was responsible for the expression and purification of a variety of neuroactive components from snake venom in bacteria and yeast systems and purify the venom material with one purpose: expansion to large-scale vaccine production. Scott McKay.
Interesting.
30 years ago, we paid this guy for 3 years to develop the technology to replicate large-scale vaccine productions made from neurotoxic snake venoms in bacteria and yeast cells. Well, did he ever do it? Well, here's his patent from July 20th, 2010. Detoxified cobra venom and its constituent neurotoxins have been reported to have potent antiviral activity. If you look at the date, July 20th, 2010, when the patent was actually granted, look right above there and to the left, you'll see Paul F. Reed's name. The invention is credited to Lawrence N. Raymond and Paul F. Reed. All right, so what are they proposing from this patent? King cobra venom also has the potential application to act as a method to protect individuals from contagious infectious agents as a substitute for antiviral vaccines. Amazing. King cobra venom is a substitute for antiviral vaccines. Why are they creating this, and why did he get the patent from our government? Look at this. The summary of the invention is this. It is a principal object of this invention to provide a method for preventing and treating infectious diseases, such as colds and flu, bacteria and parasitic infections, and the like. And now check this out. This is in the patent, Scott. Paul F. Reed, that we paid, our government did, in the United States to develop large-scale production of neurotoxic snake venoms for substitutes of vaccines for viruses. This is what he proposes of his new patented King Cobra venom vaccine. Therefore, one supposes that the King Cobra vaccine could be employed within the scope of an infection control and prevention strategy such as is currently adopted for flu season in elderly, immune-suppressed, and infant populations. Scott, in the patent, they're proposing, this scientist, that for flu season here on out, we should start injecting the elderly, the immune-suppressed, and infant populations with King Cobra venom as an antiviral for the flu. In addition, they could be employed in a therapeutic role in viral infections or in association with standard treatments for bacteria and parasitic infections. Next sentence, last sentence. This is very important. This is 2010. In viral infections such as influenza, the composition King Cobra venom vaccine would provide advantages over vaccine-based strategies in that it does not have to be virus or subtype specific, and would be readily accessible during the outbreaks and pandemics. Scott McKay, they just stated here, this scientist whose sole job was to create drug therapies from snake venoms to treat viral outbreaks and pandemics. He states here, what makes venom-based vaccines so advantageous? His words are, the advantages are, during an outbreak or pandemic, you don't need a viral-specific vaccine because venoms treat all viruses. They don't have to be viral specific. And all of a sudden, when I read this a couple months ago, Scott, I was like, oh my God, this explains Operation Warp Speed. How you could get five pharmaceutical companies in the world, and I'll name them, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and a company called Biological E out of India. How all of them in 9 months could develop for a new novel virus, a worldwide global amount of vaccines. And in this patent, they talk about how cheap and how quickly you can scale up the production of synthetic venom-based vaccines to handle outbreaks and pandemics. Am I concerned they're doing this? You better believe it. They're publishing it, they're researching it, and they acquired patents over the last 20 and 30 years to actually do just that. If I was you and you've lost a baby after getting COVID-19 injections, please educate your OBGYNs to please do and order this test, the L-amino acid assay kit. You can have that process at LabCorp, Quest, Genova Labs, you name it. Suitable for use here, it says, with serum, plasma, or urine. It would be a real easy test. And then over the next few months, we're going to be educating people how these basic venom peptides, they are proposing as antiviral drugs for decades now before the pandemic, to be used as antiviral vaccines, and all the horrible side effects you're seeing reported can all be answered with venom-based vaccine. That's what it looks like. Please do this test. If you have elevated L-amino acid oxidase in your blood, you can't form syncytium. Therefore, you can't maintain the pregnancy because you can't make progesterone to maintain the pregnancy. And without syncytium, the placenta pulls away from the uterus wall and you will lose your baby. All right, that's my presentation for you. All of those who are wondering how miscarriages are being created, they know they can do it with vaccines. They are researching all around the world how to use venoms as antiviral vaccine substitutes. So this is my warning to everybody. No one's been able to summarize how they're doing this so effectively, so efficiently, until you get and start looking into snake venom research, all venom researches. And I'm going to tell you right now, Scott, in every single publication I've read, they propose venoms will be in the future. All viral vaccines will be from venoms, which means when a baby's born now in America getting the hepatitis B vaccine, they're going to have injected into them some venom-based vaccine to protect that kid from hepatitis B. Yeah, who in their right mind thinks that it's okay to inject babies with venom or elderly or immune compromised people? I would be very leery of the entire vaccine agenda moving forward ever into the future. And you should all ask your doctor in the future when they propose a drug, prescribe a drug or a vaccine and say you should get one. Scott, I would like everybody in the Patriot Street Fighter world and audience to remember this phrase when your doctor tells you you need a vaccine or a new drug. I would like you to ask your doctor, is venom right for you? Just ask him. Hey, doc, is venom right for me? Should I have venom injected inside of me? Ask your doctor if venom is right for you.
You know, it's amazing about the industry today in terms of the medical doctors. You and I know both when we were growing up, we had, and again, I have this caveat. I have an enormous amount of respect for doctors. I have an enormous amount of respect for trauma, ER doctors, trauma orthopedic surgeons, staff nurses, anesthesiologists, all those people that kept me alive twice. And so what I say is in reference to what we see today, but the doctors of old, remember, I was a kid when they'd still come to your house or you had their office right in a really tiny town. Those were doctors that would think things through. Today it's diagnosed by iPad. All these people are they're technicians diagnosing by iPad and telling people to take what Big Pharma is telling them to take because they own the medical schools. And that's where we are today. Now, how do you, and of course, a lot of these drugs, these venom compounds, doc, are going to protect people from these other diseases because the body's going to be dead from them. Of course, it's going to protect from HIV-1 because it can't kill a dead body.
I don't even understand why they're doing this. Back in 1995, for example, Scott, they found a study at the University of Georgia. They did a 20-year study on HIV patients to see if they could keep them ever from developing AIDS and dying. Over a 20-year period, they found that if they simply gave every HIV patient selenium supplement, None of them ever developed AIDS, and most of them reversed their actual symptoms. My question is if selenium as a supplement, which is found in the dirt and is found in Brazil nuts and other foods, if it's that cheap and a natural resource, why are we looking to scorpion venoms and snake venoms to be a solution for HIV? And I will tell you something here I didn't show you in that paper on the venoms being proposed as antiviral drugs. It says in there they're already using HIV drug therapy with HIV patients in practice and injecting those patients with snake venoms as their treatment for HIV. And this is not a joke what they publish. They actually state in the paper, snake venom components are homologous to HIV. Now, the word homologous in the paper, in any science paper, actually has a definition. The definition medically is, and scientifically, of the word homologous is similar in evolutionary origin. Okay, listen, I'm going to read it back to you. Snake venom components are similar in evolutionary origin to HIV. Now switch them around. HIV is similar in evolutionary origin to snake venom components. Okay, this should really wake you up. They're telling you HIV's origin is the same as snake venom components. That's what it reads.
They created it.
All right. That means they created it, because I was told HIV came from monkeys.
Monkeys.
monkeys are not snakes or reptiles of any kind. So how can these have the exact same evolutionary origin? Are you telling me apes evolved from snakes? Is that what you're going to tell me next?
Yeah, okay. They figure out, Doc, if they tell the whole world that, this whole thing happened, HIV, because Africans were banging monkeys, really. And we were like, oh my God, Africans are banging monkeys, creates HIV. They're like, they'll swallow this shit? Man, let's just give them the gusto. It'll go right past them, which now they are.
Yeah. So my question is truly this, like, if they know HIV is similar in its evolutionary origin to snake venom components, if they know that, did y'all know that the Latin definition of the word virus historically actually means venom? Every time you see the word virus, it actually means venom. How do you know they haven't been using animal venom peptides or isolated synthetic venoms to be injected into people during the 80s and 90s to create HIV? I mean, this is how they're creating and introducing snake venom peptides into us now, is through injections as vaccines. What did they promote in the 80s and 90s was going to be the cure for HIV? Injecting you with a vaccine, or take AZT. Did you know, Scott, AZT? AZT, the cause of all the death of the HIV patients. Do you know that AZT was derived, the drug, from a marine sponge venom in the ocean? And that drug killed 11 million people? AZT. That's what venom does in the body. AZT is made from venom. So are your ACE inhibitor drugs 22 million Americans are taking right now for high blood pressure. ACE inhibitors come from a synthetic venom of a viper in Brazil. That's where it was developed. And 41 years later, 22 million Americans every morning are waking up and swallowing in their pill snake venom components from a viper in Brazil to lower their blood pressure. Why? Venom paralyzes muscles. What's your blood vessels made out of? Muscles. You put a little bit of this anti-paralytic or anti-spasmodic drug inside of you, you can't contract muscles anymore. Of course they're going to relax. You can't help but relax them. Anyway, it's really disgusting to me. I think when we're talking about natural solutions, natural remedies, we should be looking at food-based substances, not venom-based toxins or poisons. I think we'd all be better off that way. When God said in Genesis, when he said, I am putting enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent, he said the serpent might be able to bruise the seed of the woman's heel, but she'll be able to crush thy head. Really, why is it now that science has turned?
Got a freeze there, Doc.
Inside of us. Why are we doing that physically?
Ask that question one more time. I had a freeze over here. I don't want the audience to miss that question. Why? And that's where I lost you. Why is it?
Yeah. Why is it that God put distance and separation between God's children and the serpent. Why is it now science is trying to figure out how to get the serpent's DNA inside of God's children's DNA? Why? Yes, and for those of you who don't know, a lot of people initially were very upset with my proclamation that I'm very concerned they're using snake venom to actually insert venomous DNA into our DNA from snakes.
Yes.
That's what I said in the Watch the Water documentary on here. I was like, this is really evil. They're trying to inject serpent venom DNA into us to make venom peptides called spike proteins. That's what the mRNA tech is. Mm-hmm. For those of you who think that's odd, do you know, and have you ever heard, Scott, of what's called CRISPR technology?
Yeah, but tell the audience.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are aware of what CRISPR technology is, but go look it up. Google it, CRISPR technology, and look it up on Wikipedia if you want to. It doesn't matter. Look it up. CRISPR technology is this, the idea that we are actually funding billions of dollars of research into this technology. They believe diabetics, breast cancer, they believe every disease in medicine, they believe is caused by a gene you inherited. And they believe that if they can delete the disease-causing gene and replace it with another gene, they can make you not develop diseases in the future. That's the principle behind CRISPR technology. CRISPR is spelled capital C, capital R, I, S, P, all capital, with a little bitty R. CRISP, the abbreviation CRISP, all capitals. I don't think any of y'all even know what you're talking about when you look at CRISPR technology, but CRISP. CRISP are snake venom components. That's what they're called, CRISPs. CRISPR technology is deleting human DNA genetics that cause disease, they believe, and replacing that DNA gene with a snake's venom gene.
DNA.
That's all it is. So they've already been working this out, and they're trying to do this and get the body to insert reptile snake DNA into your DNA. That's what CRISPR technology is. Y'all just don't know that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's not that you just didn't know that's what it is. Go look it up. Go look up on CRISPR on Wikipedia right now. Capital C-R-I-S-P, little r. And it will tell you it's all about taking snake venom genetics and inserting them into human genes. All right.
That's I think we should. That's their satanic agenda. They're trying
I
to.
I think we should keep the serpent's DNA out of our DNA.
Yeah, and Satan is a serpent. They're trying to transform the world into their Luciferian covenant. That's what they're doing. And the fact is that we run out there and say, yes, put me on board without knowing what the hell they're doing. It drives me absolutely crazy.
That's exactly right. And I'm going to show you one more thing and then we'll leave with this because it's very important. People just see it. I mean, just need to see it. This is what they're doing. So this is a very, very outright in your face. This is what they're doing. I want to see where I want to post. Which one do I want? Let's see if it's this one. We'll see if it's on here. Nope, not there. Hold on. Y'all need to see this. It's pretty disgusting. Oh, here we go. It'll be right here. If you want to know where they're working, what they're working towards, this is what they're working towards. For all of you who are wondering. If you haven't seen the Time magazine cover from 1999.
No shit. Are you kidding me?
This, if you look at the date top left of the Time magazine, it's January 11th, 1999. They actually tell you the future of medicine. Bottom right subtitle is how genetic engineering will change us in the next century. Look at the DNA illustration. Half of your DNA turns into a what?
Snake.
Into a snake.
The serpent. Look at that shit. On top of that, you see to the left or to the right, Lott's impeachment plan. It's perfect.
Because yes, it Lott's is.
Impeachment plan was to keep a criminal in power in the White House so they didn't have to run against a sitting president in 2000. They put this shit right in our faces. The impeachment plan was proven by the actual House investigator who was a left-wing liberal Democrat, Chicago attorney who raised money for Clinton, who saw everything and said Clinton needs to be in prison, right? So that was the Lott's impeachment plan. This is their plan to kill us all. It's so amazing, Doc, how they put this shit right. They always have. They put it in our faces because that is what stops the wheel of karma for these Satanists. If they tell you what they're doing, and then when they do it and you allow them, then they escape karma. It's pretty simple.
Yep.
And that's
so, so when I said Scott earlier, even without showing this illustration, this is from 1999. It's 24 years ago. So I just want you to know, when I just said in the future, when your medical doctor looks at you and writes a prescription for a drug or gives you a vaccine, you need to ask them, hey, doc, do you think venom is right for me? I mean, just ask them. And they're going to go like this. What do you mean venom? Well, all the future of medicine is moving towards genetically engineering us. You see the subtitle down there. Genetic engineering is how to get mammals to make venom. That's what they're doing. They want mammal cells making venom. Why do they want to do that? Because they're tired of the expense of manufacturing drugs, and they would rather inject you with the instructions for your body to make the venom-based drug for them. So these people that are, for example, swallowing the 22 million Americans every day right now, waking up swallowing lisinopril for high blood pressure, they're swallowing snake venom. They know through genetic engineering, they can get your mammal cells to manufacture that venom peptide for them. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to have a factory to make it. They can just inject you with mRNA technology to tell your body to release the venom on its own. That's what genetic engineering is. Why would science want to change our genetics? I thought God got it right the first time, mm-hmm. Patriot Street Fighter. And if you do believe that God was all-knowing and all-powerful, audience, if you believe God was all-knowing and all-powerful and got it right on day six, stop putting your faith in scientists and men on this planet who tell you when your baby is born, this creation by God that you didn't govern, God created it to do it on its own. Do not turn that baby over to a man who says we can inject our lab created vaccine into your baby to make it better than God made it. That was never true. That is not what's happened. Y'all didn't let that go. So I just want y'all to know, if you have faith in God and believe he's all knowing and all powerful, act like it and resist vaccines in the future. The future of all medicine is moving towards venom based technology, period.
You're well, right. Telling you what, God, he had it right the first time, right?
I agree.
He made you, and with me, he nailed it.
He nailed it with you, buddy. Boom, we're all trying to keep up right with you, Bubba. All right, I'm gonna have to get off for the next interview, but I love you, Patriot Street Fighter. Scott, you're a blessing to me. Thank you, and you're a blessing to the audiences. I'm proud of you.
Much love to you, buddy, and let's go close down another restaurant soon.
I can't wait. Let's do it.
All right. Tell your pretty lady I said hello. You're one badass, brave Patriot Street Fighter for what you do. Keep saying the same shit you do, because every time you turn out to be right. Excellent.
Thank you, buddy. Dr. Chetty, you should share the link that I sent you with that little video and tell your audiences, start at minute 40, watch 5 minutes. Dr. Chetty, MD in South Africa, just confirmed in long hauler COVID patients that weren't responding to therapy, they ran fecal samples, and guess what they found in their stools? Replicating venom from snakes, sea snail venoms, and starfish venoms, just like I disclosed on your show back in May of last year, was found in all the COVID-19 patients in Italy. All of that was just confirmed by a medical doctor out of South Africa. The same thing is replicating in bacteria. That's called genetic engineering, how to get bacteria, yeast, and mammals to replicate venom peptides to keep you sick. All right. I'm Dr. Artis. God bless you all.
The link will be in the bottom, folks. Make sure you grab and watch it. Great to see you.
5 minutes. It's 5 minutes of your time.
We're getting in there. We love you, brother. Patriot Street Fighter out. Welcome to taking a look at Operation Tomahawk. My name is Scott McKay. Many of you know me as Patriot Street Fighter Online. I am the guy that conducts information warfare on the deep state criminal power structure for the last 2 years. We've had remarkable success. Now we are implementing another phase of warfare against these people that have used their power and money to attack humanity in ways we never even think about. This is an economic warfare platform that we are now building. We're doing it through what we call the Patriot Switch. What is that? Here's where it starts. It occurred to me one day, we got these cute little creatures called lemmings that every year they breed by the millions. They migrate to the edge of the cliffs in Antarctica, and then they jump. They start committing mass suicide every year. A couple of them survive. They go back home. They breed by the millions. Same time the next year, they migrate to the cliffs in Antarctica. They jump off. They commit mass suicide. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this insane little creature? Well, guess what? That's us. How is that? Here's how. We have been spending all of our lives buying products from these companies that poison us slowly from the time we're little babies walking around on floors cleaned with chemicals, putting our hands to our mouths. And we know for a fact, the evidence has shown, all these companies, all these chemical companies providing us all these products actually kill us, or carcinogenic or otherwise. So when I learned that there was one company in America, multi-billion dollar, multi-decade company, a Patriot company, all manufactured here in America, that can provide us with natural products that don't kill us, I thought, holy Mary, Mother of God, there's our solution. Everything in my kitchen sink cupboard, bathroom sink cupboard, things in the bathroom, shampoos, laundry detergent, all these things that have chemicals that they've proven in laboratories will kill us, they're all gone. Get rid of them. Replace them with all natural products. Here's why. The light went off in my head. Here is the way that we create a chokehold on these big, powerful companies that could produce natural products, but they sell us these poisonous chemicals. Operation Tomahawk, we're cutting off their blood supply. We're choking out their cash flow. Why? Because now we are directing people through Operation Tomahawk to come over, make the switch, shop consumer items, all the things they currently buy from one company. One. We are going to have millions and then tens of millions of people participating in this, because they now have a way to get in the fight that we are in to try to take back our power. These companies that do this to us, we're going to choke them out. These big box retailers that they herded us into during the pandemic to kill all these mom and pop stores that all our friends own. Guess what? We don't shop there anymore. We don't need to shop at Amazon, because we can also shop online this way, and we're gonna fight back. Come and join Operation Tomahawk and do something for your country and your family.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.